You know, there's nothing that stirs you up or excites you or builds you up as the Word of God. I was on the way here, and I just started listening to the Audible Bible, and I started listening to Acts chapter 1, and I think I got up to like Acts chapter 5. And man, it just stirred up something inside of me today. And sometimes I think my personality is that I can't stay still, as you can probably see. And Jeremiah said, he said, I cannot contain this fire inside of me, inside these bones. And I pray today that we too won't be able to stay quiet or contain this fire of God within us. And we will show that love to the people that we meet today and encourage them. But I wanted to ask a few questions first. Who here doesn't believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior? Are there any non-believers here? Okay, so we're all believers here. Who here gave their life to Jesus in the last 3 years? 5 years? 8 years? 10 years? What year are we in? 2023. That's me. 15 years. Okay. 16 years. 16 years. Come on. So we've got an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 16-year-old. Okay. You're 16. 20 years. Wow. 25 years. Seriously? 25 years. Okay. 30 years. Okay, 35 years. Okay, we've got a 35-year-old. So we've got an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, 16-year-old, 35-year-old, 40 years. 40 years, come on. I've seen some hands not gone up yet, so let me continue. 45 years. Okay, here we go. Wow, praise the Lord. Mike, are you... 50 years. Anyone longer than that? Wow. 63 years. You're 55. This is incredible. This is incredible. Wow. So the eldest in the faith, 63 years, sir. That's incredible. And I'm encouraged. I'm genuinely so encouraged. And one of the things the Bible says that, you know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And the fact that you guys are here on a Saturday morning for the third week in a row, and you're hungry for the Word of God and hungry to do the works of God, it just encourages me. And I pray that, you know, myself and the young ones here, that as we grow in Christ, we too will still have that same passion and fire over the next 50, 60 years, because one of the things that we find in the church is that people start to lose that hunger. It becomes a bit mundane. It becomes routine. It becomes like something you just tick off on a weekly basis. So it's for you two guys to be here, still wanting to learn and still wanting to receive is an encouragement to me. So obviously, let's just... let's just be real here. So no one's a novice here. Everyone has got a firm foundation of what the Word of God says. Everyone, I assume, has had a personal encounter with Jesus, and your lives have never been the same again. And you know, I think that is the key to living a life of evangelism. That personal encounter. And for me personally, I never want to lose the wonder or the awe of when I first encountered Jesus. Sometimes, like I said, we're all here. We can sometimes, like I said, go through the motions every day. I've been there myself, but then I'm like, God, renew that fire inside of me that I had in the early days. Renew that. Don't let me grow cold. And He always brings me back to that moment I had in 2013 where I saw that image of Christ and me living. My own personal testimony, our own personal testimonies should be the things that ought to encourage us. Because we received the love of God. We received His mercy. And that should propel us into wanting to go and share in the gospel with others. But before, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's always an encounter first before we share the gospel. But you know, I believe that we've all been baptized here in the water. Is that correct? We've all been baptized here. Okay. Now, there is another baptism that the Lord spoke about, that John spoke about. And it is baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, have we all been baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's something that you can answer, you don't have to answer. And I think the answer should be a simple yes or no. I don't believe there should be an answer of I don't know. Because you'll know if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and rest of the world. You will receive power. A great example of the power of the Holy Spirit, look at the life of Peter. When you look at the life of Peter, before he was filled with the Holy Spirit, what was he like? Okay, so he had Jesus with him. He was hanging around. He was all brave. He was quite this character. He was out there in the front leading. He did amazing things with God. I mean, he walked on water. He did the impossible, but he also sank as well. But one thing I love about Peter was that he wasn't afraid to put himself out there. But the difference is, he was able to do that when Jesus was around. But it was a different matter when Jesus was not physically around. When we look at the story of when Jesus was taken away to be crucified, the Bible says that all the disciples ran away in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then we find Peter in the courtyard, and people came up to him, and they said, aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you the one that hung around with him? And what was his response? No. Not once, not twice, but three times. And man, the image that really breaks me, really gets to me, is that when Jesus looked at him and he saw his eyes. And imagine, if I was in Peter's shoes, I would have done exactly the same, just wept. And Peter wept and he ran away. And the beautiful story about that is that obviously, you know, he came to know Christ afterwards and Jesus forgave him. But what I'm trying to say is that when Jesus was out by himself in the world without Jesus, he didn't acknowledge Christ as his Lord and Savior because he was scared. He was petrified. And don't get me wrong, we've all probably would have done the same thing. Let's be honest here. But here's the difference. In Acts chapter 2, when he is filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room with 120 people, you see a completely different Peter. So much so that he starts to preach the gospel, and the Bible says thousands were saved that day. Suddenly, this Peter, who was rejecting Christ, is now full of the Holy Spirit, is leading thousands of people to Christ. Not only that, but that he was doing signs and wonders. Miracles were following Peter and the disciples. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts, it says that when they were doing these mighty things, the council looked at them and said, these are ordinary men, uneducated men, but they have been with Jesus. Key to living a life of boldness, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is to be with Jesus. Our intimacy with Him. Daily. Daily being intimate with God. And I'm not just saying getting up and just reading a devotional and ticking it off and carrying about your day and forgetting about speaking or communicating with God. That's not a relationship. Those who are married in relationships, you don't just speak to your partner once a day. I'm not married yet, so I'll take some advice from you guys. later on. You constantly are messaging or on the phone or whatever it is. You're thinking about that person. You're praying perhaps for that person. In the same way, any relationship, I mean, I have friends who I'm always in contact with every day. I'm speaking to them. In the same way, our intimacy with God needs to be priority. So these guys, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were doing signs and wonders that followed them. Even in the midst of persecution, they stood up strong. Even in the midst of being reviled and mocked for their faith, they were told to be quiet and never mention the name of Jesus again. What would our response be if we're in a situation, a law gets passed and say, hey, stop talking about Jesus, otherwise you lose your job. You're going to go to prison. This will happen to you. How will we respond if we're in that position? What I love about the disciples is that they said, listen, whether we obey you, obey God, that's up to you to judge, but we will always obey God. The disciples also said that we cannot help but talk about the things we have seen and heard. This was their response. We cannot help but speak about the things we have seen and heard. Over the years of all of us being saved, we must have seen a lot of things. We must have heard a lot of things. When I'm saying seen, not just miracles in our own life, but miracles in other people's lives. How has God transformed people from one way to another? Healing miracles, perhaps we've seen. Impossible things to man, God has turned into the possible. When Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, what did he do? He was filled. He came back, the Bible says, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's where his ministry began. The ministry begins when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not something, it's not a sensation that you get now and again. It's not these goosebumps that you get. It's not an it. He is God in spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He is real. He is alive. He is the one who makes Jesus real to us. He brings into remembrance everything that Jesus did. And for us to not be communing or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're missing out. We are missing out. And the Bible says that when they prayed in the upper room, they were speaking in new tongues. They were speaking in tongues that was not their natural language, but they were speaking in other people's languages. There is a heavenly tongues, but those they were not speaking in a heavenly tongue. They were speaking in actually different dialects, different languages. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, man, we can do the impossible. So I just wanted to encourage us all. And that's what I really want us to do today after, before we go out there, is actually pray. Pray to be filled, overflowing. You see, evangelism is not, the Bible says, a witness. Do we know what a witness means? When you are in court and they bring in witnesses, a reliable witness is someone who saw the incident take place, who was there. So when Jesus says you'll be witnesses, that means one thing, that you have to have had an experience of who Christ is, because you are a witness of what he has done in your life, what he has done in our lives. Imagine if a witness is called up into the courtroom and they're trying to explain what happened at the scene of crime, and their story is absolutely nonsense. Their story does not tie in to what the other witnesses have said. He's not a credible witness. In order for us to be witnesses of Christ, you've got to have witnessed His presence. You've got to have witnessed His transformation in our own lives, in other people's lives as well. I remember when I was first gave my life to Jesus, I was so fixated on Mark 16:15, where it says, go into the world and preach the gospel. That was something I was fixated on because I wanted to tell people about Jesus. And at that time, we had a new youth pastor in our church. He was from Romania. And he said to me, Adnan, that's great. You know, you're going out on Wednesdays. At that time, I was working in a Barclays bank and I found a Christian prayer group. We would meet on a Wednesday and we'd go out into Canary Wharf and speak to people. And believe me, the first week that I went, I was petrified. I was scared. I did not say a word. But I remember going home that day, there was this burning inside of me. There was something inside of me that I know that I couldn't stay quiet. So I remember I spoke to my friend. I said, mate, we're going out on Wednesdays. We're telling people about Jesus. And he said, look, read the next verse. What does it say? And it says that these signs shall accompany those who believe. They will heal the sick. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will drink deadly poison, but nothing will come to harm. Signs and wonders are part of the gospel. Signs and wonders should be our natural lifestyle. The supernatural as a believer should be our natural. This is why I love reading the book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, you've got these ordinary men being so brave and so bold. And I just want to put this out there. Those signs and wonders was not just for the apostles, for the disciples of those days. Those signs and wonders are still taking place today. And Daniel is going to share some testimonies of those signs and wonders, and so will I. But what I really want to do is build this anticipation inside of us to expect not the ordinary, but the extraordinary. To expect that God is going to partner with us. I don't like using the word use us because God's not a user in that sense. He partners with us. He's a partner. It's a beautiful relationship that God, the creator of this universe, wants to partner with us human beings, His creation. So this anticipation of us is, for me, it's not just going out there and just saying a few things to someone. I want to see salvations. I want to see healings. I want to see the impossible taking place out there. The disciples, they saw the sick being healed. They saw cripples getting up and walk. They saw the dead rising. And guess what? Jesus said in Matthew 10:7-8, it says, as you go, preach that the kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. We have received this message. We have received Christ. I was leading a Bible study group, and as I said, I'm I got very excited. All I wanted to do was just go out into Oxford Street and tell people about Jesus. And then I thought, man, when I'm going to tell them this, everyone's going to be excited. We're all going to go out. There's about 12, 13 of us. And suddenly there was this, there was just this quietness when I started to talk about going out there. Suddenly, I felt like they weren't as excited as I was, perhaps. And in that moment, I felt God say to me, how can they go out there if they don't know me? And that's when it clicked. I cannot just assume. We cannot assume that everyone has had in church, has had a divine personal encounter with Jesus. We cannot assume that. So for me, I was like, okay, how do we do this? And it was about building them up, encouraging them. Listen, the things what Jesus said in the Bible is applicable to us today. He has given us authority over the demons out there. Maybe I'm getting too deep here, but we've seen devils being cast out. We've seen the sick being healed. The only thing I've heard, the dead being resurrected, I haven't seen it myself yet. And I'll be honest with you, I have prayed for the dead to be risen. Should I get a little bit more personal? Is that okay? I even prayed for mom to rise from the dead just 2 months ago. I didn't see it. But it doesn't mean that God's word is not true. I prayed for a young family member who's 24 years old who died in Cornwall sea. We saw his body. We felt, go and raise him. We didn't quite see it. Just because we haven't seen certain things does not mean that the word of God is not true. We cannot base our life experiences. We can't let our experiences dictate the word of God. You may have prayed for someone, you may not have seen them healed. Doesn't matter. Keep going. Keep praying. Some people, I haven't seen it, but what about those we have seen get healed? What about those we have prayed for have come to know Jesus Christ? That should excite us. That should encourage us. Not the things that we haven't seen yet, because we will see it. Don't let those things discourage you. Just because I haven't seen the dead rise yet does not mean that I'm going to stop believing or praying for them to rise, because we will see it. Jesus said, you will do the things I did and greater. I mean, what is more greater than seeing someone come back to life? What is more greater than seeing people giving their lives to Jesus? But we are seeing greater things. At the click of a button, you can reach millions nowadays on social media. At the click of a button, you can pray for the sick and they can be healed. We're living in a time where, it's all doom and gloom. But hang on a second. It's not all doom and gloom when we transform our thinking. Social media gets such a bad name these days, but I actually love it. I love working where I am right now. I can speak to people in India, in Egypt, in USA, at the comfort of my own home or in the office, and I can share with them about Jesus. So just to build us up, signs and wonders, there's different gifts of the Holy Spirit that we can all freely receive and should be and wanting to be operating in. One of them is the gift of word of knowledge. I just want Daniel to come up and share some testimonies. I know you've got some amazing ones of word of knowledge and some other ones.
A word of knowledge for anyone who doesn't know is where God gives you knowledge about something or someone supernaturally. So it's something that you couldn't have known before, and it's a way for God to immediately connect with that person, immediately build rapport with that person, and let them know that God knows them, God knows what they're going through, God knows where they're at, what their struggles are. So last week I told you the story where God gave me a word of knowledge for the young woman at the bus stop, where she was struggling with nightmares, no one else may have known that about her. She may not have talked about that with anyone, but God knew that about her, and God knew what she was going through during the night, and he wanted to reach out to her and let her know that he was there. Last weekend, a few of us went out on the Saturday after the session, including with Leslie. And Adnan and I went to a coffee shop to get a coffee at one point. And as I was in the queue, trying to decide what I was going to have to drink, I was looking at the barista and watching her making the coffees, because I used to be a barista myself. And God just told me, and it's like a very kind of, I hear God's voice as like a very gentle, quiet, parental kind of voice. And he just said to me, she's recently lost someone close to her. And when God gives me a word of knowledge, you know, it's usually just like he just delivers it, you know, and then that's it. You know, it's like, okay, what am I doing with this? What am I going to do with this now? And I'll be honest and say I need to get better at like follow up prayer. You know, what else do you want me to say, God, or where are you leading me with this? But quite often it's very kind of spur of the moment, and you know you're in a queue, and oh, you're next. You know, and now is your chance to speak to this person, if you know if you're going to or not. You know, I said what coffee I would like. It was a latte, and when she had made the latte and she gave it to me, and I said, excuse me, have you recently lost someone close to you? And she kind of recoiled and she said, yeah, how do you know that? And I said, God told me about that. God told me that he wants you to know that he's thinking of you, that he's there for you if you ever need him, if you need him. And you know, again, she was kind of speechless. She didn't know what to say to that. And it's amazing seeing someone else have that experience of, wow, like God has just spoke to me through someone. You know, this person that doesn't know me has just told me something about myself that's so deep and personal that only my close friends or family would know. And she didn't know what to say. She smiled and she turned and she went back to making the coffees. And then as we were leaving, she had turned around and we said God bless you to the staff there, and she thanked me and smiled as we left. And you know, I don't know what God is going to do with that, or you know where that's going to lead for that woman, but I hope and pray that really impacted her and that she went home that night. And that she cried and she prayed, and you know, and if not that night, it was a seed that was sown. It's an experience that she can't ignore or deny that she had, and that's what these signs and wonders that's what God offers people with these signs and wonders. It's an undeniable experience or encounter with God. So I'd like to tell you about another story that's a different story. This is about healing. So I was receiving this healing in this story. I actually did a healing training with a pastor from the States named Pastor Tom. And he had, well, before we went and did the outreach, he asked if there was anyone who had any pain or anything that they would like healing for. And I had injured my shoulder skiing, and it had been about a month that it was really messed up, and I couldn't move it without it. Every time I yawned or stretched, oh, it was excruciating pain, which was like the same pain as when I first did it. And when I'd gone to the doctors, he said that it seemed like I had torn or damaged the labrum, which is, I believe, the tissue that connects the ball to the socket. And I was told that generally this doesn't heal very well on its own, and people need to get physiotherapy or surgery. So I said, well, great. I don't want surgery, and I can't really afford physiotherapy. Maybe I'm wrong with that about that, but in my mind, it was, you know, an expensive thing that I couldn't afford. So I said, God, I'm just going to give this over to you. You know, I damaged my shoulder on a Christian skiing holiday. You know, so you can look after this one. And yeah, it was a month later that I was at this prayer training. And as I said, that they'd asked if anyone wanted prayer. And I put my good arm up and I went forward for prayer. And Pastor Tom asked a gentleman to pray for me who he had trained the day before. And first, the guy prayed. So this is how he prayed. He said, "Father, thank you for Daniel. I know that you love him and that you don't want him to be in any more pain. So right now, I command this pain to get out in Jesus' name." Simple as that. And instantly, the pain was gone. All of the pain was completely gone. And I could, you know, I was going like this and waving my arm around, doing all these things that I couldn't do before because of the pain. But my shoulder was still like popping and grinding and, you know, making funny noises and was uncomfortable. There wasn't any pain anymore. And so Pastor Tom, you know, said, you know, check it, look for the pain. And so I said, "Oh, well, the pain's completely gone." You know, we were praising Jesus. And I said, "But it's still popping and grinding." And so Pastor Tom said, "Okay, pray again." And he told the guy, he said, "Pray for it to be returned how it was before the accident." And so again, the guy prayed and he said, "Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for removing Daniel's pain. But we want this shoulder to be 100% healed. So right now, I command full healing and restoration over this shoulder. And I command the shoulder to be returned to how it was before the accident, in Jesus' name." And again, just like that, like completely brand new shoulder, like it was before the accident. And that was a few years ago now, and it's been completely fine ever since. Bear in mind, I was told that this was something that wouldn't heal on its own, and that I would need either ongoing physiotherapy or surgery. And where was I going with this? Yeah, so the important things that I learned from Pastor Tom and from going through that experience myself is that Jesus has given us authority. And he said that he gave us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome any power of the enemy. And I learned that we are able to command things in Jesus' name. He said, "Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do for you." We're able to take authority over pain, over you know, these works of the enemy, and exercise our authority through commanding something. So when the guy prayed, he commanded the pain to get out. You know, he didn't you know, ask it or beg it or, you know, get down on his knees. He commanded it and told it authoritatively, "Get out in Jesus' name." I mean, like Jesus would do to the evil spirits, you know, "Get out." And then when the pain obeyed and the pain left instantly, but my shoulder was still not right. Again, he commanded my shoulder to be healed. He commanded my shoulder to line up to the word of God. He gave it no option. And it's that kind of it's that authority that the Holy Spirit can give us. You know, as you can probably see, I'm not a public speaker. I don't like speaking in front of people. I get nervous, even on Zoom calls at work. In front of my team who I know very well, I don't like public speaking. I find it uncomfortable. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives me the power and boldness to stand up here and to not be a shaking wreck. When I go out on the street and when I'm out in the street and I'm street preaching, I'm not choosing to be out there. You know, I'm not that, you know, bold, outgoing, public speaker, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives me that boldness and that power. He can do a lot more things than give us authority and give us boldness and give us the ability to heal and give us words of knowledge. And yeah, as Edmund was saying, I think it's just pressing into that, asking him daily to be with us, asking him daily to fill us, asking him to give us these gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can partner with him more effectively. And it doesn't need to be like a big kind of scary thing. It can be as simple as you're in the queue for a coffee at a coffee shop, and God whispers something in your ear, and he's asking you to sow a seed for him, for his kingdom. And you obey, and that's that. You get your coffee and you go on your day. Sometimes he may ask, something more of you. And it just depends on where the person is at and, where they're at, if they're a seed or a bud or a budding plant. How much the Holy Spirit may ask you to do. So another time, this was another bus stop story. I was at the bus stop and I'd got on the bus, but I was always looking out for the Holy Spirit at bus stops at this point in my life because he would often ask me to speak to people at a bus stop. Anyway, so I'm sat at the back of the bus at the bottom of the bus. And a gentleman gets on the bus, and he's wearing a leather jacket, and it looks like a bit of a rocker or something. And as I lay eyes on him, I get this sense of, oh, okay, God wants me to speak to this person. And as I said, because I'm not an outgoing public speaking kind of person, I my heart starts to race, and there's this kind of sense of urgency, the sense of needing to respond to a call, and lo and behold, the man walks the length of the bus and comes and sits opposite me. We're at the back of the bus where there's the seats facing each other, and he sits opposite me, and I'm thinking, oh goodness, what am I going to, how am I going to open the conversation with this man? And we're going along on the bus, and suddenly he goes, excuse me, you wouldn't know how to get to such and such a place, would you? And I'm like, I can't remember where it was now. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just round the corner from where I live. It was one of the roads, one of the streets up the road. If you like, I can show you how to get there, because we need to get off at the next stop. So he was like, oh yeah, that would be great. And so just there and then, ice broken. So I start talking to him, and we do the usual like formalities, and I tell him that I'm a Christian, and we get onto that. And he was currently a believer in the New Age movement, kind of like, hippie movement. And he was interested in Jesus, but didn't believe that, that Jesus was God, and didn't believe in Christianity. And he was actually an alcoholic. And so I was able to pray for him and to tell him my testimony, how Jesus had led me out of a life of partying and alcohol and drugs, and how Jesus had led me out of, kind of hippie, kind of, not quite religion, but kind of, hippie beliefs. And we ended up talking for probably about 2 hours. We ended up sitting and chatting for probably about 2 hours, and I was able to pray with him, and We stayed in touch, and I would encourage him every now and then, and we would catch up every now and then. And yeah, I don't know where he is at the moment with God, but you know that's between God and him. But I responded to God's call to speak to him that day, and I hope and pray that it made a positive impact in his life and in his walk and journey of faith. And that's all that we can hope to do. I'm trying to think of any other stories. I might just hand back over to Adnan.
Okay, I don't want to spend too long, but I just wanted to share a few more things, and I would love for us just to spend some time in prayer as well. Also, just give some practical tips and stuff. Whilst I was there, I was just feeling like I want us to be creative in our ways to live this as a lifestyle. I mean, God is a God of creation, right? I mean, every snowflake that drops is different. Over the, I don't know, how many ever years ago they created this earth, there's never been a snowflake that's been the same. I mean, that is mind-boggling. So there is, ask God to help you in how you and your personality can shine. It's not, we're encouraging you, yes, but this is God, I partner with God in a very different way than Daniel does or you may do. Because when you do it out of your own personality, when you don't copy the style of another person, it's not authentic. See, God wants to shine through you and your personality. And one of the things I love is, I love languages. And growing up, I used to love the language of Spanish. And, you know, one day I want to be fluent in it. I am learning it here and there, but I'm not a theoretical kind of guy. I need to put it into practice, you know, and start speaking with Spaniards that I actually know the language. And sometimes I think, okay, they're talking too fast or whatever it is. But putting it into practice is key. And one of the things I learned was that being in London is that we're surrounded by people from all over the world. And my love for languages, God gave me this idea, is to actually, when I'm speaking to them, is to learn how to say Jesus loves you in that person's language. So I was, obviously I can say in Spanish, so I'd be out, I'd be like, hey man, how's it going? Start a couple conversation. And I could detect an accent. Now sometimes it's got me in trouble. They're like, why do you want to know? People get a bit, you know, nervous about it these days. They get easily offended. I'm like, oh, don't worry. It's just I can say something in your language, something nice. They said, yeah, sure. What is it? Go and say it. And I'd say, Jesus te ama. They'd be like, what? How did you know that? You know, like, and I was like, oh, you know, because it's true. It's the most important message you'll ever hear. And that just strikes up a conversation. I get speaking to them. And I remember I was, and I've learned in over 30 languages, not from Google, although I have checked Google to make sure it's correct. You know, I don't want to be learning some wrong words here and there. But in European languages, you can tell it's all pretty much similar. But I remember, I like to challenge myself. So I met this person from Asia, East Asia, and I was like, hey, and they were from Japan. I said, like, bro, like, can you teach me something in your language? They're like, yeah, sure. I said, how do you say Jesus loves you? And that took them back a bit because nobody really talks about that in Japan. And he's like, well, I didn't even know how to say Jesus in my language. I'm like, just teach me. And man, he said this longest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, that can't mean Jesus loves you. He said, Yesu Kristo wa anata o aishite. And I was like, that can't be Jesus loves you. That's just way too long. But then I had a friend who was from Japan. And I said to her, hey, if I say something to you, will this make sense? She said, say it. I said, Yesu Kristo wa anata o aishite. She said, how did you learn that? I said, what does it mean? She said, Jesus loves you. So from that moment on, God helps me to remember it. And I'd go out into the streets, I'd meet someone, I'd be like, where are you from? They'd be like, Japan. I'd be like, hey, I can say something. It just strikes a conversation. But that is just my way. God is using, you know, my hobbies, my desires. Whatever your hobbies and desires are, ask God to come into that. And you can use that as an opportunity to share with other people. Let's not limit ourselves just to, okay, I need to go and evangelize on the streets. Evangelism is not just on the streets. The Bible says as you go. Have you ever had like telemarketers call your house? Like on your phone and stuff? I love speaking to them now. I don't hang up anymore. We used to work in telesales, in call centers. So when you're doing outbound calls, if you're a legit company, you can't hang up. You have to listen. So I remember when I used to ring people up, I couldn't hang up because my calls are being recorded. And if they found out that I hung up on a customer, potential customer, I could be in trouble. And these calls are, like I said, being quality assessed as well. So bearing that in mind, I had this one person ring me up for 18, he spoke about his thing. And I said, hey man, I just want to tell you something. He said, sure. I said, Jesus loves you so much, man. And we spoke for 18 minutes. And in the end, I said, hey man, do you want to like receive Jesus into your life? Pray with me. He said, yeah, let's do it. So he prayed. And I was like, even I was shocked. I was like, this is incredible. So from that moment, I just found out, I was like, you know what, when they call me, I'm just going to speak to them. Nowadays, people, they just hang up. I'm like, okay, they're not legit. They're not the real call centers. What's going on here? I even had a word of knowledge for someone. I was speaking to someone from Apple. And suddenly, like himself, I just felt like a pain in my heart. I was like, okay, what's this? So I said to the lady, I said, look, is there anybody in the family that's got heart condition? She said, I think it was her uncle who just had a stroke literally a few days ago. And I was like, oh, can I pray? And she started crying on the phone as we prayed. She's like, thank you so much. You have no idea what this means to me. I rang up my insurance company for mobile phone. I was renewing it. And we started talking. And God gave me this analogy of insurance and how it ties into insurance with Jesus, that he's the only one that guarantees eternal life. As I was sharing with this person, he turns around and he said, you have no idea what this has meant to me. Like Daniel was saying, we have no idea. All we got to do is just be open and obey. Another one that I recently haven't done in a little while, but I need to step it up again, is that we all buy stuff on the internet. You know, you can leave reviews on the products we buy. So I used to leave Amazon reviews. I said, this is a great thing, but hey, I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Put your trust in him. You know, give your life to him. With him is eternal life without. Just a few words here and there. The media, whoever goes on Amazon can read that seed has been sown. Like we said, we don't know what's going to happen with that. One day when we get to heaven, they'll be like, oh yeah, I was on Amazon, I bought this thing and I read this thing and I gave my life to Jesus. We're like, whoa, that's crazy. Think of creative ways. And also, one of the biggest things I feel we as Christians ought to be living a life of is generosity. You know, generosity, I'm not just talking about our time, but I'm talking about financial generosity as well. We were in Liverpool one day, and we were in Primark. We were just sharing the gospel with people. And I just felt the Lord say, hey man, pay for that person's shopping. Thankfully, it wasn't like, you know, like huge shopping. We're like, okay, that looks all right. We can pay for that. We paid for it, and it was this single mother with just two young kids. And she broke down, started crying. She goes, she was like, why would you do that? We said, look, man, this is Jesus. Jesus, living the Christian life, Jesus gave. He gave and gave. He gave his whole life. I'm not saying go buy someone a house. If you can, great. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying if you feel a prompting in your heart to, hey, I want to bless this person with a coffee, do it. That's not the devil. That's God. The devil doesn't want you to bless people. Generosity speaks so loudly, especially in the church and from Christians. So I encourage you, perhaps you're out and about and you're speaking or whatever it is, you know, you may see someone who just needs some financial help, whatever it is, or coffee or cake or whatever it is. Don't limit God to how he can, you know, partner with you and encourage and bless others. And I know Mike said in terms of going out there, knocking on doors, is that the technique today? Listen, if you're... Don't limit that. If you don't want to knock on doors, don't limit yourself. If you want to go out into the town, if you want to, you know, grab a coffee like we did. Last week, me and him, we went out. We weren't like, we let it be natural. We were just catching up. I was getting to know Daniel myself. I was asking him about his life. We kept it very natural. And then we'd see someone like, oh, hey, let's just talk to these guys. We spoke to 3-4 young guys at first. They didn't want to hear. But as soon as he started sharing about his testimony, they stopped. good probably 6-7 minutes they were with us. We're called to sow seeds. He had a word of knowledge there. We also spoke to some people who didn't quite receive the good news of Jesus as lovingly as some people would. And you'll get that. You'll get people saying, I don't want to hear it. You know, you might get sweared at. You might get all this. But don't worry about it. It's all good. Because what we say is more, will hit, impact them more than what they say to us. And one of the things I used to get a little bit upset when I used to get messages on like Instagram. They used to be trolling me and abusing me, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, man, why is this upsetting me? And then I read this Bible verse and it says, blessed are those who are mocked and reviled for their faith. And I was like, you know what? Continue to mock me, man, because I'm getting blessed. Transform your mind. This is what the Bible says, Romans 12. Transform your mind. It's a blessing to receive mocking and reviling. So one of the tips, if you are going out onto the doors, you know, just two by two, Jesus sent them. And there's power in that. I want us to live this as a lifestyle, not just on a Wednesday or a Saturday or a Sunday. Lifestyle Christianity, that's how it should be. It could be you're by yourself and you just start sharing the gospel with people. But I do find when you're two by two, it's so much depth and so much greater. We were out last week, and whilst one of us was talking, the other one was just listening, you know, from the Holy Spirit, or just trying to see where the conversation is going. And the other person probably downloading stuff from heaven, and then he would start speaking. Then I would be quiet, and then God's giving me stuff. And then we would go in. So there's amazing power when you go in two by two. And I want us to do that as well. If you're going out knocking on doors, I don't know, allow God to get the name of Jesus out there. In terms of opportunities, one of the things I always say to people is like, hey, how can I pray for you today? You know, what do you need prayer for? Is there someone sick in the house, or are you looking for a job? Whatever it is, and they'll open up. During COVID, everyone wanted prayer. Trust me, I went up to everyone and said, hey, do you want prayer for anything? Yeah, please, pray. So always ask that question, how can we pray for you today? We believe, you know, God can do this for you. We believe Jesus can do. And you have no idea where that conversation will go. And if you are praying for people, you know, the Bible says lay hands. However, it's good to lay hands, but if you're going to lay hands on people, ask them the permission first. Don't just, you know, you don't want police coming to you or lawsuit or anything like that, which you can, I'd welcome it because police need Jesus too. Anyway, so it's, just be wise. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. So let's be wise out there as well. So, you know, ask someone, hey, listen, can I put my hand on your shoulder, whatever it is. And if it's, you know, women praying for women, men for men, whatever it is, let's just be a bit wise as well. You know, in terms of when we're praying for people, in terms of, I don't want to give you any, you know, I don't want to give you a script, because sharing the gospel is not scripted. Yes, we have a heavenly script, which is we want to share the love of Christ, what the gospel is, which Andrew covered so amazingly. But I don't want to give you a script and then just say, hey, listen, if you repeat this prayer, you'll become a born-again Christian. Yeah, we'll give them an opportunity if you want to give your life to Jesus. But even if they say no, whatever it is, what you've done is actually changed the trajectory in their life. You've got them thinking about this Jesus in a way they've never heard before. I'll share one more story and then we'll pray. I was just on my phone this morning and I've got this app. It brings up memories, like things that you posted maybe 5 years ago, last year, whatever. And one of the memories it was that I posted on Facebook of this testimony of this person I encountered on the train. I love hats, and one of the hats I had bought at that time, I got it personalized, and on there I had John 14:6 just printed, embroidered, just on the side of it. And I remember I was on the train one day, and I was just sitting down, you know, minding my own business, just chilling, listening to music. This young man comes up to me, and he taps me on my shoulder. He goes, what's that on the side of your hat? I said, oh, it's John 14:6. It said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, he goes, yeah, that's amazing, man. He goes, I just recently started going to church, and this is so encouraging to me. And I used to be a Buddhist, but I had an encounter with Jesus. I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I said, listen, where are you getting off? He said, like, next stop. I said, oh, okay, let's just quickly pray because I'm getting off like 10 stops down the line. So I prayed with him, and that was it. Never saw the kid again. About three, we had exchanged, actually, email addresses and all this kind of stuff in that short 2-3 stops. 3-4 months later, I get an email from the same guy. He goes, hey, mate, I don't know if you remember, but I saw you on the train and I saw your hat. And I just want to tell you that on that night, I was traveling to Manchester. And he said, something happened to me that night. If I hadn't met you or you prayed for me, it would have shaken my faith. But because we prayed and because you spoke, I held on to those words and I held on to that Bible verse that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He goes, thank you so much. We have no idea. Sometimes we do have an idea, but a lot of the time we have no idea. So just to encourage you, it could be just a prayer. Whatever it is, just be obedient to what God is saying and let Him do the rest. Don't bring it upon yourself, oh, this person didn't give their life to Jesus or whatever it was. If you're praying for sick people, don't be scared to ask them how they're feeling. In the beginning, I was scared because I was like, what if nothing happens? But then God said, what if something happens? What if? Don't think what if nothing happens. What if something has happened? And here's the thing. What's the worst that can happen? It can't get any worse. You know? So it's like, we get scared in ourselves, but what if God doesn't do it? But just if you're praying for the sick people, like Daniel said, just command that sickness to go. Don't like long it out. Don't like bring heaven's angels down and all this kind of stuff and go thou art and all this kind of stuff. Just keep it simple and pure. Get straight to the point. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Just a few practical tips. And is there any questions before, first of all, before we, I don't know. Any questions? Give you guys to speak.